Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
Oh, there he is.
Tickets.
Long time no see. I mean, I probably haven't spoken to you since last week.
It's outrageous, dude. It's got, you know, ticket being out of LA is just not a good scene.
Well, yeah, it was that. Plus, it was the holidays. It was, you know, you were traveling. I was with family. You know, it's understandable.
Yeah, no, what was, I had a lot of stuff going on. I was very busy running around over the span of a few days trying to see family and whatnot. So, how was your Christmas?
It was good. But getting a hold of you for a bet was just impossible. It was just, I just wanted between Thursday to Monday, just one solo, single solitary bet, and over and under a spread, just one thing, put $50 on it, just party bet it.
I know. I was bad. I was very tough to
focus up. You couldn't.
I had a lot of stuff going on. I was constantly running around. I had the family over at all times. I've been focusing on Prize Picks lately, but one may say that me sticking out was exactly the formula that the ticket needed, because I think you won everything that you took.
I did. I had a really great week.
You could say that it was exactly what the doctor ordered for the tickets, keeping Cutsy well away from the well. There was no interruption.
It was
no
bad karma. Too, where we decided, like, fuck it, no picks. It's a Christmas, and I felt like dog shit
when we did.
Me too. I did too. All right, though. You did.
I did not feel good, but you know what? That's you know, you got to go out there day in, day out. You got to put forth an effort, and you got to rise to the occasion. And
you were staring down the barrel.
No, it wasn't the greatest episode, but it was fun.
You were staring down the barrel of a lot of shit to do between work and waking up crazy for travel and buying presents and wrapping them and shipping them. And it was, I do not envy you. I could tell it was what it was. I had a good time. It wasn't our best episode, but it was just sort of us catching up and chatting before the holidays. Yeah. I had no issues.
Better than no episode, that's for sure. And, Christmas Eve, I got home. By the time I got home and got to bed, it was almost 2 a.m. You can imagine, you know, how exhausted I was by the time that, you know, the family was all over. We were opening the presents, and then we had extended family come by for dinner and for cocktails. Yeah. And it was a whirlwind of a couple of days. But, no, man, I'm back in L.A. I feel good. It's been pouring here. The weather's not
really
good at all. Yeah, it's been pouring, raining every day. So, I mean, I'm not opposed, but
the city's crying for me to come back. The city's crying for me.
I mean, it is. As soon as Ticket left, it just felt like a little special mojo was lost. And
it's warmer here than it is in LA, man. It's like 75 here. Charleston's very happy I'm here. It's just over the
moon. I see some sunshine peeking out of your window over there. It just looks like a good spot to be. But yeah, no, I'm good. You see the Canucks won again.
The fucking Canucks, man. Talk me
through. They're back, baby. I'm so excited. Bruce Boudreau is just a legend, dude. I love this guy already. No, I watched the game, and they play in LA tonight. They're on a back-to-back, and my restaurant is closed, so I'm going to try to maybe get tickets to go. The thing is, I told Bobby that we were going to grill on the rooftop, but now
I mean, come on, dude.
There's tickets for like 60, $65. I can get like decent tickets.
Joe, okay, now walk me through this. Is this a situation? I notice you're just over 30K on Instagram now. Are you at the place where you can shoot up a story, say, hey, looking to watch my Canucks tonight? Is that in play?
I would, but it's so cheap to get in that it's not worth using one of those stories on.
Right.
I would use a story on something where, say, if the tickets were like $200-$300 a pop,
right,
and it was looking like tough to get in, then I might pull that angle. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but I will say for golf, like, for example, when they had the PGA Championship out in South Carolina in Kiowa, I put out a story saying that, you know, I got to get out here. Does anybody know anyone who is a member or could get me out? And dude, it was pretty wild to watch. I had dozens of DMs and like people saying, come out anytime. I can get you on the course. I had one guy who said, I work here and stuff like that. So with the golf, yeah, I think
I remember that because a guy told you to come and I was so jealous because I was traveling through the bushes and the beaches trying to sneak on to Kiowa because it's just an hour south of, or 45 minutes south of Charleston. You
tried to sneak onto the course. Oh, and my God.
I was
going to
do like a whole story about it. I thought I had a shot. I traveled for 4 hours. I was walking through all these places I wasn't supposed to be, woods, beaches. And I looked at my iPhone and I was still an hour and a half away. And I was just not getting there. I was not getting there. I had to turn around.
What, did they have it all roped off and shit? Like there's no way to get on?
Well, the way that that island is, that course was all the way at the tip of the island. And between the tip and where the entrance of Kiowa is, there's like 8 different courses there. So I kept thinking I was close, but it was just a different course. And they also had it roped off. Like you needed to have tickets. They had the whole island shut down like 7 miles out from the tip. So I thought it would be like a 3 mile walk and I walked about 4. And then I looked out, had another 3 to go. And I was like, fuck this. I'm going over.
I remember I messaged you like halfway through. It was like, Ticket, how's the tournament? You're like, I didn't see a second. I was like, oh no.
I was sweating profusely when I walked back past some of the guards I had already sneaked past, but they were like, yeah, good luck, buddy. They let me go just to see how far I had to go. They were like, go fuck yourself.
This guy's worse off if we let him by than if we stop him now.
Yeah.
Getting back to what I was saying is, like, I think in the golf world, I have a lot of pull, a lot more pull. But the Connects game, I was looking on SeatGeek, on my SeatGeek app, and you can get good tickets for like $70. And for me, I mean, that's more than reasonable. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, I was looking, they had the Super Bowl up on the event. It's like $5,500 for a ticket. It was like the cheapest thing on the app. It's insane. But yeah, Canucks play tonight. They look good, man. They look really, really good. I watched that game last night. They won in overtime, but John Gibson was phenomenal for the Ducks. The Canucks peppered him. They probably should have won by 2 or 3 goals. He made a couple incredible stops, but they're just firing on all cylinders right now. They really look like a team that has all the confidence in the world, which is a 180. If you look at, you know, from where they were, they look like they couldn't get a win. And now they're coming from down, you know, they had a game, 4 or 5 games ago against Columbus. They were down 3-0. They're fighting and they believe they can win. And it's really exciting because you mentioned this at the beginning of the year. They're a young team. They got a lot of passion and they got a lot of skill. They just kind of lost their way early on in the season. And now they're like 3 or 4 points out of third spot in the Pacific. So we'll see what happens. But I really, really do believe if they carry on, they're not going to carry on at this rate. They're not going to win every game. But I do think that they have shown themselves that they can do it. And I think that they can get into the All-Star break in a very good position that, you know, the playoffs are a definite, definite possibility.
This makes a lot more sense to me. Like you said, there's no way they're going to keep up this clip. I mean, they're eventually going to fall back to earth, but hopefully they'll still be a winning hockey team. But this, when you look at the roster, is starting to make a lot more sense because there's too much talent there not to be winning and find themselves in the playoffs, even if it's the 8 or 7 seed. You know, it sort of goes to show that sometimes these teams, they have these coaches for a while, and I think the players just stop listening. I mean, they might come in and they're exciting and they might even still be good coaches, but these players just after a while, they stop listening and you just need new blood. And so they signed Bruce. Bruce, there it is. And he comes in and he riles the team up, shakes them up.
He has the experience. He knows what he's doing. And you know what I mean? Sometimes that's all it takes is just a big mashup. And like you said, now I want to touch base, Ticket, while we're on the topic of turnarounds. How about your Eagles? They're in a playoff spot.
They look good, Joseph.
Talk me through it, Ticket. Are you feeling good about this team now? Like,
I feel very good. I feel very good, not about them doing anything in the playoffs, but with our remaining schedule, who we're playing, I feel very confident we will be getting that last spot in the playoffs. I just don't know how we have Washington this week again, who we just
that's got to be a win.
Got to be a win. We have Washington, and then we have the Cowboys. We have 2 games left.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say you guys beat the Giants this week, lost the first time, but
but we smashed. You played
the Cowboys.
And then we play the Cowboys, who if they're
fighting, a way you can still win the division?
No, we're out of that. The
Cowboys have won
11
it?
Wins already. I think we have not. Yeah, we can't win the division.
There's no way that you can win the division still?
No.
Beat them the last game and they lose this game this week and you guys win?
No. They're too far ahead. They have too many wins. We're 8-7. They already have 11.
Okay.
They're out of reach.
Okay.
But if they're – what we were hoping this whole year was that if we get to Dallas, hopefully since they're already in the playoffs –
They'll rest their starters,
but they might be fighting for a possible one seed. So they might try to go after us.
You know
so
what, though, we'll Ticket? I'll tell you what. You don't want to go into the playoffs by beating a second string team. You want to go in by beating the number one seed or the number one string players. Because I'll tell you what, if say the Cowboys do play their starting lineup and you guys go, is it in Dallas or in Philly?
It's in Philly.
It's in Philly. So say you guys in front of your home fans beat their team as is and make the playoffs. It is going to be an electric factory. And you know what? It is going to be a lot of momentum carried into the playoffs to the point where that could propel you guys to a wild card win against one of these top teams, which could be even the Cowboys.
It could be. Depending on whether we beat the Cowboys or not. We don't even necessarily need to beat the Cowboys to get in. If we win against Washington and New Orleans and the Vikings
lose. New Orleans is a lost cause. New Orleans is a lost cause. They look like a child that lost their parents and they're trying to find their way because they don't have a quarterback. They are lost.
It's an unfortunate situation. It's happening. Cause.
And Washington was tough to stomach watching that the other night. That was a beatdown the likes of, I think, one of the biggest beatdowns of the entire season. It wasn't even close. McCarthy had something to say, and he wanted to say it loud. But I tell you, I feel very good about your Birds. It's so funny, though, because for people who don't know who are listening, the Tick, you are the biggest roller coaster of emotions when it comes to your team throughout the year. You have been so high on them. You've been the lowest of lows on them. You said this team stinks. They all got to go. Then all of a sudden you're back on the Hurts train. And I feel like he's a good quarterback. I feel like he's just got to find his style and he's got to stick to it and he's got to find his game plan. And that's what he's done the last several weeks here. And they look good. And
yeah, well,
I'll say
you're right. I'm totally a roller coaster, but I would also argue there's been no team in the league this year that has been more of a roller coaster ride than the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, truly, one week they look great. They're in the playoffs. They look good. And then they lose to the Giants, who they should stop.
Well, they've also had a very tough schedule to start out. They had a really tough schedule.
The first eight games was brutal, was absolutely brutal.
It was good team after good team.
We got to touch on the passing of John Madden. Talk me through. You definitely got to listen and watch more of him than I did. And he meant a lot to me and in my generation. But you got even more time with him, being a little bit older than me. So walk me through it.
Yeah, John Madden was like the original. I think now, like, you have Aikman and Joe Buck kind of like as the voices of radio. When I was growing up, you know, because I'm what, 8 years older than you, Ticket? So when I was growing up, you know, I got a heavy dose of John Madden. And what was the other guy he used to
Cassell.
Work with? Yeah, they were amazing, man. And Madden did stuff that no one else did. He kind of was the visionary that started drawing on the field. Like, you'd be watching the screen and he'd be drawing the plays out and showing you like what, like how the plays unfolded and breaking things down. I mean, he was just such a delight to listen to and watch. I remember he would drive his RV across the country because he refused to fly.
Right.
So it was just a good story, man. He was just a really great guy. He loved football more than anything. And I really feel his passion and his love of the game helped transpire a whole generation to really embrace football 10 times more than they would have to begin with, because it was really an enjoyable opportunity to watch him, you know, do his thing week in, week out. It was, you know, it's a big loss for the football community, big loss indeed.
Yeah, it was. And I watched far less of him than you did, but certainly logged in some years there towards the end, which a lot of people would say weren't the glory ages, but was still John Madden. But, you know, he pretty much brought that, you know, writing, playing a replay and writing on
the screen.
And yeah, he was the first one to do that. And he brought that in. He briefly worked for Cal Berkeley and he taught a class there. It was called the man defense, man-to-man defense. And he started there. And then when he started working at CBS, he made them. He's like, I'm only working here if you let me do that. I can draw all over the replays and tell you what's going on.
Yeah, it was so cool.
And he, he totally changed the way they replayed. There's an awesome article on The Ringer by Brian Curtis all about him. It's where I learned a lot of this stuff. But, you know, he totally changed the way we watch football anyway, the way they do replays. He was like, yo, if you ever show me a replay of just a running back running the football, you're going to hear silence. Because I want to talk about the key block that got him loose.
He'd show the guard coming over.
He would teach you about football, why awesome. That guy got. So he was trying to almost enlighten the audience.
It was like educational.
It really was. And I recommend anyone go read that article. It's an awesome article, but what a loss, man.
Didn't he just come out with a documentary? Wasn't there just a documentary?
That came over out Christmas. Too? They just came out with
have to watch it. Yeah, it just came out too.
Now.
I mean, it's I got to watch it. But
talk about a ratings boost. He really wanted that thing to soar. He even died for it.
Put his life on the line for it. Poor bastard. No, I actually think he loved the Packers too, which I really enjoyed because he you know, growing up watching Brett Favre,
he
was a big Brett Favre advocate, and I just used to love tuning in because he would break down play after play. He was really one of the first times where you'd watch sports, and it was more than just watching the sport. You actually knew what you were getting from the commentator side, which now, you know, commentators have pulled on a whole, you know, a whole kind of persona of themselves now more so than ever. But he really set the tone, dude. It's a big loss for sure.
It's a big loss. Well, we got to move on. We got to move on forward. It's crazy though. One other thing about him is like, I've never seen anyone leave and like never come back ever. Like he left and didn't come back and do like part time. He was left. Done. He left.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I have not heard from John Madden aside from playing his video games. Also, too, we got to talk about the Madden curse was a real thing for about a span of 10 years.
I'm going to be honest, 2 years ago, I thought he was dead. I was like, he must not be alive. I haven't heard from him in ages. And now, the Madden curse, of course, man, almost everyone got hit by it until recently. It felt like anyone who was, remember Peyton Hillis? That was the biggest curse of all time.
Oh, I loved Peyton Hillis so much.
The guy he was such a bruising.
He was the guy you wanted to root for.
He was. He got hurt too.
The Madden curse, and that was it. A true story. I have only owned one jersey that's a non-Packers jersey in my entire life. Can you guess which jersey that is?
Vince Young.
No.
It's not Peyton Hillis, is it?
Young. It was close. Well, this is the reason I'm saying it was very close to being Peyton Hillis. He helped me win my fantasy the 1 year, and I picked him up off waivers, and I would watch Browns games just to watch this guy bruise through players. It was not Peyton Hillis. It was, in fact, do you want to get one more guess?
Is it in that era? Was it in the Peyton Hillis era?
And that was shortly after.
Oh, shortly after.
A few years later.
Oh. Jeez, I have no idea. Now hit me with it.
Ex-Packer player.
Oh, he's an ex. Oh, so he was a Packer, but you got him when he left the Packers.
I did.
Oh, was it? The white receiver. What's his fucking name?
Jordy Nelson. No, Jordy Nelson. It was in fact Brett Favre. I own a Brett Favre Jets jersey.
Brett Favre on the Jets.
I flew to New York with my uncle. We went to a game. They played the Rams. They won. They won by like 4 touchdowns. Steven Jackson was like the running back for the Rams back then. And then they just went off. I bought a
Brett Favre. Dick Pick era Brett Favre. The Jets.
I got the
era.
Brett Favre jersey, the Jets jersey. It's the only non-Packers jersey I've ever owned.
How many Favre Packer jerseys did you have though? Do you have like numerous like? Do you have all?
A cool story is my mom, which you are aware of, is from Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's her home. She was born and raised there, her whole life. Her sister-in-law, she got a job for the Packers as the head seamstress for the team. So she would be sewing the jerseys and all this stuff. That was her job. for all the players. She was making the jerseys and the pants, and if they had anything like socks, I guess she was head seamstress.
She's making the socks.
So I guess I don't know. She was doing paraphernalia for them.
It's like all of China, but just right there in Green Bay. Just
I guess I don't know. I just know. I know her role was head seamstress. I don't know what that means, how that entails. Anyways, bottom line is she became very good friends with the head equipment manager of the entire team. His name was Red. We got to meet the guy. He was like in the association for generations. He was an old time, just a legend. And we actually got to meet him, and he gave us a ton of like Packers gear throughout the years. And they were all hand signed by like Brett Favre jerseys and like hats, visors, Reggie White stuff. Like, it was amazing. So I had a ton of Brett Favre stuff growing up. There were never like the NFL, like, you know, game worn jerseys, but they were like practice jerseys or different knockoffs and stuff like this. And they were all signed. So he was my favorite player. Sick. And fun fact is when Rodgers came to take over, I was anti Rodgers. I wanted Brett Favre back. I mean, he was just a legend. You know, as a kid, we'd ride our bikes to the practice stadium, and all the players, after the practice, they'd get on the bikes and you'd jump on the back and they'd ride you back to Lambeau.
Sure, yeah.
And they'd give you a jersey or whatever. Brett Favre was such a living legend that they wouldn't allow him to ride the bikes. So they built an underground tunnel that went from the practice stadium to Lambeau that he would walk under, because they didn't want to risk him, somebody trying to hurt him or doing something like that. I mean,
yeah, he was an American icon, man. I mean, he was the Randy
Hayes
guy.
He was an amazing guy.
Yeah, it was apple pie, Chevrolet, and Brett Favre, man. I mean, that was.
And I went from Favre, and now I got Rodgers, who's now my favorite player.
That's
an
interesting thing, because so I didn't know that you rejected Rodgers in the beginning, because now you're rejecting Jordan Love. And do you think
No, Jordan Love is. I don't want to go down this road. Jordan Love stinks. He's gonna. He might pan out to be okay. Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre are living legends. The thing is, I'm committed. When I see someone who is stuck by our team, who, you know, Favre was an Iron Man. He didn't miss a game for like years. He would play through injury. He was just dedicated to the team, and I loved him for it. And the same with Aaron. It's like, when I see a guy who goes out there week in, week out, regardless of whether you like them personally or their personality, but they fight for my team. It's like, those guys are my heroes, man. Those guys are like the guys I root for, and I want them to win at all costs. I don't want them to be replaced. So naturally I was against Aaron Rodgers when I saw this guy come out with long hair. I was like, who the hell is this guy trying to take over my team? I want Brett back. So when Brett went to the Jets, I was still a huge Brett Favre guy. Yeah. Now when he went to the Vikings, I cheered vehemently against him.
Fuck him. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, you know what? Fuck you, dude. You want to sell your soul to the devil. Like, I was so anti Brett Favre for that. What, year or 2 years when they went to the Vikings, and they made it to the NFC championship the one year, and the Saints won. And I was thrilled, but yeah, that's a little tidbit.
It was unbelievable that he did that. That was heresy. I couldn't believe my eyes when he decided
to
go there.
Like,
but
it would be like Donovan McNabb.
No, it would be way. Your thing is way worse. Way worse.
It's way worse. But I'm saying, even just imagine a team that you cannot stand. There's one team that I hate. I don't hate the Bears because they stink. They really have never, aside from a couple of years, they really have never challenged us. We always beat them. So I have no hate or ill will against them. The Vikings, I hate. The Vikings are a dirty franchise. Guys like Anthony Barr going out of his way trying to hurt Aaron Rodgers. They're a fucking filthy franchise.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they got, that horn they blow. They're savages, man. They're savages. And to be quite honest,
the horn
can't
is super
stand
aggressive, man. The horn is like, where the fuck are we?
It's the war cry, man. It's a fucking war cry. But yeah, I hate the Vikings. They're the only team in the NFL that I do hate.
Well, a lot of people could say, including myself, that Brett Favre changed football a lot of the same way the LeBron changed basketball. I mean, dude, the amount of people who came out, the quarterbacks that came out after Brett Favre, who were like, I'm a gunslinger. I take shots. This is the new NFL. Don't be afraid of interceptions. He started that. Yeah. So he changed the game and paved the way for a lot of what came after him. And now we're changing again. Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, they're all changing the league again. But he sort of changed the game in that way. Like, hey, don't be afraid of interceptions. We'll win anyway. Let me just go out there and make some magic happen.
Look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, looking at it objectively, and I still loved Brett Favre, but Aaron Rodgers is so much a better quarterback than Brett is because he does all the things that Brett can do with a fraction of the mistakes. I mean, if you look at all-time interceptions, Aaron Rodgers is like a minuscule amount of interceptions compared to, like, I think Brett Favre at one point had more interceptions than any quarterback of all time.
I think he does. I think he leads the league, no?
I wish he was still playing to this day. I would just do the over on the prize picks for interceptions every week for Brett Favre.
It'd be at three.
Call
it'd
it a day.
It'd be unbelievable. It'd be at 3.5. While we're on the subject of Rodgers, though, he recently said, I just want to quickly get your idea on this. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But he said recently he's not going to drag out the process when the season's over. He's going to pretty much quickly tell you where he's going or if he's staying. Do you think that's a sign for he knows where he wants to go? Or do you think that's a sign, oh, he's decided to stay?
I think he's deciding based on what happens. I think if the Packers win the Super Bowl this year, which, listen, they got a shot. They got a very good shot as much as any other team. If they win the Super Bowl this year, I think Aaron stays. I just don't understand why he would leave. He wants to win. If he wins a if he wins a Super Bowl, gets a second MVP with the team that he's been so well versed with, and I don't understand what he would gain from going in somewhere else aside from money, which I really don't think is the reason he's interested in leaving. I think he wants to win. He wants to be considered a top quarterback of all time. And he knows at this point, the only way he's going to cement his role further is by bringing home hardware. So I think if they win the Super Bowl, he will stay. If we lose, I do think he will leave. I can't blame him. I just think that, like,
but you don't think him saying that he's not going to drag out the process means that he already knows? You don't think he already knows what he's going to do?
I think he knows. I think this year showed him a lot. And I think he knows deep down what the right move is moving forward based on the situation. I think it's a situational decision. So if we win the Super Bowl, he will absolutely stay. And I'll be honest with you, Ticket, even if he does leave, I will have no ill will to him because I'll have a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And I can live. Two. I've said this before. Two. I know, but I'm saying we'll be championship winners. I could live off of 5-6 years of not being good and watching this fucking Love kid turn into a half-ass quarterback. But my you know, if he wins, I don't see him leaving. If they lose before the NFC championship, it's a wrap. Even if they lose in the NFC championship, I think he will go elsewhere. I just believe that.
Yeah, and as a sports fan, as a football fan, I have to say, whether he leaves, whether he stays, I hope whatever Devontae Adams does, he does too, or vice versa, because those two together, no matter if they go to San Francisco, Denver, wherever they go, are magic. They're absolute magic. They belong together. It's so exciting. It's good for football when they're together. So whether they stay, whether they go, I just hope they go as a package deal. We'll see.
Aaron call Devontae the best player he's ever played with this past week.
And he's played with some good receivers. He's played with some awesome receivers.
Jordy Nelson, I mean – Greg Jennings.
He was going to say, he was still with Greg Jennings. Was Donald Driver still there? I don't know.
Donald Driver, James Jones. I mean, I think Devontae is by far probably the best talent that he's played with, but he's played with some good people.
Well, Devontae Adams is turning into one of the best talents the NFL in general has ever seen. I mean, the guy just gets – even if he didn't get open, he'd still have a great chance at catching a lot of these balls because he's huge and he's strong, but he does. He runs great routes. He's quick, and he gets open too. It's like
– Doesn't drop balls. He does not drop. If the ball is in the vicinity of Devontae Adams, he's making the catch. It's as simple as that, you know. Yep. So,
or it's going to take a stellar defensive play.
We'll see, Ticket. I mean, it is really kind of scary to think that this is an all-in year for us. Like, it could either end on the high of highs or the lowest of lows. I really don't think that there's any middle ground here for me. So I'm just praying and hoping for the best because I tell you what, if Bob and I go to the Super Bowl this year, which looks like it's going to happen, and the Packers are in it and win, it will be as good a moment as I could ever ask.
It would be like Christmas coming.
It will go down in the sands of time as just a revolutionary moment for Joey Colcutts.
You'll have that glint in your eye that only comes once in a blue moon when something really good happens. You'll be wasted. It'll be awesome.
I actually believe I will. I believe based on the game, I will not drink much.
I think you'll get a good buzz going.
I want to be inebriated. I want to soak in every moment of that. Now, if they lose, I will black out. I think the first half. If they make it, they got to make it there.
I think if put them there, they're not there half, yet. I think if the first half, you'll get pretty greased up. But then as the game goes on, you'll start to sober back up. The second half is where you're going to like, okay, I need to focus up here.
The intensity alone will sober me up, I believe.
Yeah, I think it will.
I can't put myself there yet. I don't want to get ahead of the game.
But if anyone should be projecting themselves there, all right. I mean, no one looks better. But anyway, a lot went on this week. John Morant dropping 41 on the Lakers. Erlinger taking over for Wentz, who's got COVID. Bob Stoops stepping in for one game to play the Alamo Bowl.
Good for Oklahoma.
They kick Oregon's ass. Yeah,
Oregon stinks. This team, I don't know how they were ranked so high. Anytime they play a decent competitor, now they get blown the fuck away. It started with Utah. Utah blew them out two games in a row, and now Oklahoma made them look like mincemeat.
With a replacement coach. I mean, albeit a Hall of Fame coach, but a replacement coach. I like them.
I will root for them next year. I think it's a feel good story. His son caught a touchdown and goes over and embraces his dad on the sidelines. It was awesome to see. Giant cowboy hat on him. You know, it was a good scene.
It was good for college football too. I mean, as long as good football stays in the heartland there in Oklahoma and stuff, that's always good for them. You want the West to be competitive, but it's better for college football that Midwest area stays dominant like they are.
For the championships? Sorry to interject.
No, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. I think we should move into our picks of the week, but I want to do not just NFL this week. I want to do our bowl game picks. I want to talk about Michigan. I want to talk about Alabama. I want to talk about all of it. What do you like? I know college has been sort of your Achilles heel this year. Saturdays have not been good for Joseph. Let's put that out. No. And if you're only watching this show, Sundays aren't good for him either. But
it's all been bad for me lately. But unless you're prize picks, I'll tell you both games in a nutshell. I think Alabama is going to cover. I think it's 13.5.
That's right.
The spread. I think they can win by more than two touchdowns. I think they're by far better team and better coach team. Also, the thing I think is Cincinnati's not been there before. It's going to be a lot to take in. It's a first time for this team really being in the spotlight the way that they're going to be. I just don't know if they can handle it. Give me Alabama with the points. And then I think Michigan's winning against Georgia. I think this last game against Georgia with Alabama, I thought that I really believe Georgia was untouchable. I thought that they were the team to beat. They looked unbelievable. And Alabama went in there and just in Georgia, in Atlanta, they went in there and they just tossed them aside like they were fucking, you know, like they were just, you know, yesterday's news. I think that's a very demoralizing loss. I also think Harbaugh and company coming off of that massive win against Ohio State are really riding high. I think they're going to pound the rock. I think they're going to run the shit out of the ball. As long as McNamara doesn't make any mistakes and he just plays as a game manager, I do think Michigan will win this game.
Well, unfortunately, we're very much in concert here. So if we lose again. No winners on the show. But
agree with me?
I do. I love Alabama laying 13.5. I think when you take 4 weeks off, which is unbelievable that they do that. But when you do that, I think that favors the more talented team, which Alabama definitely is. If Cincinnati got to roll in, they were winning, they were hot. If they got to play again next week, I think they'd have a much better shot. So I think all that time off favors the more talented. I like Alabama laying down those points. And Michigan, I think just something special is happening with Harbaugh, McNamara. Yeah. I think Michigan's got a sweet, sweet team. The Big Ten is always overrated every year and gets killed in these bowl games when they play the SEC. But I really think Harbaugh and this Michigan team is the team. Now, I'll say they have one of their defensive backs out, or he might not play. He hasn't traveled with the team yet. They haven't said, I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know if it's a personal issue. They have hopes that he'll join the team, but that would be a loss. But I still like him not to win the game necessarily. I like him covering the 7.5. I'd love to see him win.
Oh, for sure the cover. I think,
like the 7.5.
I think they can win. I really do.
I hope you're right.
This game.
I hope you're right.
And you're a Michigan guy too, no?
Well, yeah, a lot of my family's from there. So we always root for the Wolves. Go Wolves.
I do think, though, that that Alabama's taking it all home. I just think that Saban's just a step above everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, dude, every time I bet the Alabama huge spreads, I typically take an L. But I just think, really, I mean, really, 4 weeks off.
You know
I
what you do?
Cincinnati's going to come in you know so what you cold.
You do a parlay, you assess whether it's going to be an over and under, and then you just take Alabama money line.
I like that. I like that. I'll probably do something.
You've been really
like that.
On with the spreads lately, with the over unders. Yeah. You're really getting a good feel for
I'm
the game.
I'm getting a groove for the game.
You're really getting a good groove for these unders.
Whether it's going to be a defensive game, an offensive game, the
take
game
it just season.
Coming to me. It's
but I do think if you have a problem with the spread, then you just parlay it with the over under, and then just take money line. Because I think if you go money line Alabama, it's pretty much going to hit. So it ends up just being a focus on whether the game's over or under.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
And you're going to get good odds too there, Tick.
Yeah. Not for the money line's got to be at like -600.
I understand. But when you parlay it together, it's still going to be good odds.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the pro game. No Thursday night game tonight, which sucks, but they're paving the way for the bowl games. So all Sunday and then
well,
a Monday
no, it's
night
because
game.
It's because there's an extra week in the NFL this year. That's why there's no week 17. There's no Thursday night because they added an extra week.
Well, this is week 16.
Yeah, but normally this would be the last.
You're
week.
Right. This is week 17.
Yeah, normally this would be the last week. So because week 18. Right. So week 17, normally they don't have Thursday night. So that's why I was looking everywhere to see where the game was tonight, and there's no game. And I will say this for all the people who say, oh, Thursday night games are not good. When you don't have one, you miss out, you know, and there have been some very, very good Thursday night games. I mean, you go back the Packers and the Cardinals. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was a great game. Yeah. You had, what was the game this past week? It was really fucking good. Who played on this past Thursday was I can't remember now. Not really making my case in point here for the Thursday.
No,
night
I know
game.
What you mean. Even if it's a shitty game, it's like I just like the football's on. I'll have it on the background. It just keeps me. It's like a warm fire burning. I just love it. And I tell you what, with the COVID going on, the Tuesday games are awesome too. Like I love having a game through most of the week. Oh, it's so much to look forward to.
It was Titans and Niners, which was a good game.
Yeah,
and
it was a good game.
There've been a bunch of really good Thursday night games. So I am buying the Thursday night game. I think it helps propel the season. It kind of breaks it down, so you're not just waiting all week for the Sunday, because that's a long wait otherwise. You know what I mean?
Dude, I know. Now we're waiting. We had Monday, and now we're going all the way to Sunday here. But let's get into the picks here. What do you want me to go first? What do you like?
Yeah, go ahead. Give me 1 second, actually, Ticket. I got to just plug in my charger, my phone mic. Yeah, yeah. My thing's about to die.
All right, buddy, you back? You all plugged in? You charged up?
We are charging. We are rolling.
Beautiful.
All right, what do you like this week there, Tick?
Tell you what I like. I love the Eagles. I love the Eagles laying down 3 in Washington. I think Washington stinks. I think they're done for the year. Riverboat Ron should really be looked at. I think he really needs to be looked at. I think we need to take a close magnifying glass to this guy and think, is this guy really the answer here in Washington? So anyway, I like the Eagles traveling there. It's basically a must win for them. They're laying the 3. I think they kick their ass. And I tell you what, have you seen this Rams Ravens spread? I think it's an absolute trap. They're laying only 3.5 and the Ravens have looked stinky.
Well, is Lamar back this week?
Lamar's going to be back, but still, I mean, they're in Baltimore, but outside of that, the only thing I like is in Green Bay. I like the Packers laying down 7. Vikings are coming to town. They didn't cover last week, but they typically love to cover this year. So those are my two those are my two locks. I love those two bets.
See, I actually think the Vikings cover the spread this week. I think the Packers win. Yeah, I think it's going to be a back and forth game, which, you know, typically Green Bay, Minnesota is a back and forth game. The Packers, the last 2 weeks, have had the lead. They've had the cover and they've let it slip and fall when they shouldn't have, against the Ravens and then against the Browns. Both times it should have won by more than a touchdown. So that's disappointing. I think the Packers win this game, but I think it comes down to a field goal.
Is that going to be one of your picks, or are you just weighing in on that?
I'm not. I'm just saying I normally would go with you on the Packers, but I'm going to steer away from that game. I looked at a bunch of the games this week, and there's two games. You know, I tried to think, like, what do I like? There's actually two or three spreads I like. I think if Nick Foles plays again this week, I think the Bears are going to stomp the Giants.
I agree.
Again, that's dependent on if Nick Foles plays. This guy is a game manager. He is a good quarterback. I don't know why they thought Andy Dalton was the guy there. I think Nick Foles is a better quarterback overall. My pick of the week, I hate this so much, which is why I'm going to take it, is the Dolphins plus 3.5 against the Titans. I actually think that the Dolphins are a decent team. I think the Titans are kind of reeling right now. They're not, you know, they're winning games, but I think that that's a field goal game. And then the other game that I like is I like the Cowboys tick. I like the Cowboys at -5.5 against the Cardinals. The Cardinals have been in a tailspin. They're really not able to figure it out right now. They're not able to stop anybody. I think the Cowboys are looking better by the week. Again, though, I would not advise anybody to roll with me on my picks right now because I've really been abysmal. I just cannot find a groove on this podcast for whatever reason it may be. But those are two games that I think I think if Foles plays, I think the Bears might be my play of the week.
Yeah, I really like the Cowboys pick because, as you said, the Cardinals are stumbling and the Cowboys defense looks as good as any in the league. So I think that's a really tough defense.
DeMarcus Lawrence touchdown this week.
I think that defense is going to be a tough place to try to find your footing, you know. So I also really love the under 51 in that game, too. I think they're really going to stifle that Cardinals offense. So I love the under 51 there, too.
I will say just one more note not going to give another pick. I'm just going to say notoriously on Sundays, I'm awful in the early slate games, in the 10 o'clock games for Pacific time zone.
True.
I'm really bad. And I think part of the reason is because there, you know, Bear Down talked about this in our other podcast, is there's such a big slate to choose from. Mm-hmm. So you kind of lose your way and you're kind of distracted. You're looking at different games. The afternoon games, you have a much smaller sample set to choose from. So you're able to really analyze and dive into those three or four games a lot better and get a better understanding, a better groove on what's going to happen. So traditionally, I start out really bad in the morning. And then as the day progresses, my bets and my success rate increases exponentially. So like the afternoon games, I'll do well. And the night game, I am the best. So let's look at
Vikings-Packers. I mean,
it's the night game. It's the Packers-Vikings.
It's the Packers.
Oh.
This is a wonderful lesson, by the way, because I think everyone can relate to this. There's just so much going on. You've got a bunch of crazy parlays for the morning games. And it's probably smarter just to pick like two or three that you want to focus in instead of making these eight-game parlay. I mean, they're fun.
Has it happened with us where you or I, when you were staying with me, you're like, you like a couple games, and then I go, oh, you know, what about this team? And then all of a sudden, your whole focus shifts, and now you start looking at another team, and then you start questioning your first couple picks when those were the picks that you really felt good about. Yep. I think that that's the way that, you know, for next year, because this year is almost done now for football, which is sad to say, but I think for, you know, my focus moving forward is going to be really just solidify a couple games and just focus on that and don't get caught up in the pizzazz.
And real small money parlays, but straight bets, big straight bets on what you like. That's the way to do it.
Yes.
That's the way to do it. So our night game is the Vikings and the Packers. Do you like the Vikings? Do you like them?
6.5 is a lot.
It's seven. I got seven. Is it 6.5?
If it's seven, I think I would take the Vikings cover. If it's six, I might take the – I've really been let down with the Packers the last 2 weeks, just not being able to close out games. And I know these two teams, when they play, it's fireworks. They're always, like, in battles, and they're tough games. That being said, if you like the Packers, I will roll with you. I will absolutely roll with you, Tim.
But and it's my team, so I can't not. I don't want you coming on here next week and saying,
No, I would never do that. No, I would never do that. I mean, but what I'm saying is, if you like it, I mean, who am I to root against my own team? I've seen 2 weeks in a row now against, you know, they had 4 interceptions last week against Baker Mayfield was terrible, and they still came down to they had to make a stop at the end of the game. They could have lost the game. So I don't know what's going on with them. They get these big leads by 2 scores and they just get complacent. So hopefully that's not the case this week. If you roll with that, I'll go with you. My pick will steer clear of the Dolphins. I'm going to go with, solidify the Cowboys and okay. We'll go with the Bears. Albeit if Foles does not play, then I will switch to the Dolphins. How about that?
Wait, Jesus, you got so much going on here. Just make a definitive Bears.
Well, my Bears is based on the full. If Foles okay, so plays, there's a contingency I'm all in on the Bears.
On the Bears minus 6. If
it's minus what is
it? It's minus 6. If Foles plays,
if Foles plays, I'm with the Bears.
Play, we go with the Dolphins plus 3.5.
The Dolphins are plus 3.5. Yes.
You got that.
I wanted to get
maybe get a pen and I got to get a win and write all this down.
I'm sorry. I gotta get a win this week, Ticket. I gotta be very selective. My losses have added up so much. But so you're on the Packers?
I'm on the Packers. I'm gonna go with the minus 6.5 that you have.
Okay.
My book has minus 7, but it's typically the other night game is the Browns Steelers on Monday night. Do you want to weigh in on that? That's gonna be a shit show. You never know what you're getting with either of those fucking teams.
I would stay clear of that. Maybe an under. Those teams suck. I don't even know what the line is.
You
give
know
me the under.
We won't. You know once Monday around 5 o'clock.
I'll go with the under. I'll go. I don't even know what the line is. Those two offenses suck right now.
True.
What's the line?
40.5.
Give me the under.
You taking the under in the 40.5?
100%.
Under.
Those teams stink.
40.5. Okay, well, but you never know when all of a sudden he's going to come out.
I feel very – the only thing I feel good about betting on Brown Steelers right now is the under.
You know what? I'm going to roll with you on that. I'm going to roll with you under.
Big Ben is fucking – the guy couldn't put up a point against Kansas City, dude. They looked awful. And Mayfield threw 4 interceptions against the Packers.
What a clown show that guy is. Are we going to get rid of – how long are they going to watch him? He's not going to get paid. He's not going to get paid. He's not going to get paid by the Browns.
He's a bust. He is a bust first overall.
He'll get
player.
Paid by somebody to come in and.
Yes,
be
he will.
Mediocre,
but I'm saying, I mean, it just how he was hyped up as a first overall pick.
Total bust as far as what he was supposed
but
to be.
You know what? Look at that whole draft class. You had him, Darnold has been. You had Josh Rosen. I don't even know if the guy's in the league anymore. And then.
He's a backup for Atlanta.
Didn't you have. Mahomes was that year too. No, Mahomes was a different year. Mahomes was the same year as Trubisky.
I didn't know though that he was the same year as Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. That was a weak class. And I remember them talking about it. It was sort of a weak class.
It was Rosen, Darnold,
quarterbacks should wait. And the Jets just couldn't help themselves.
I actually think was Lamar Jackson that year too.
Possibly. I don't know. I
think he
might have
been because he went later. Anyways, bottom line, those 3 guys fucking bust. What a bust quarterback class.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Sportsman. Those are our picks. Feel free to fade them. We've been just god awful. But another fun week. You've got a lot going on this week. You guys got some cool videos coming out. Absolutely hilarious. Check out the Bob Does Sports page. Cutsy's putting out absolute heat on this page. The golf vlogs and this one today, Thursday the 30th, this week tomorrow, go check it out if you haven't. Get that second wind of views on Friday. It's gonna be awesome. You're absolutely fucking hysterical, man.
Oh man, we had a lot of fun doing that vlog. It's really come together. And Jet, our editor, is just, this guy is becoming like the Scorsese of YouTube videos now. This guy is really fun.
He's an absolute diamond.
He's a great guy. So but I tell you what, Ticket, I'm really excited that we were able to do this because last week, I really was kind of under the weather. I really wasn't in my element, but this was fun. I was glad that we were able to kind of reconvene. And you know what? We got to get you back. We got to get you back in LA.
I know.
We got to make it happen, dude.
I will be soon. No right, worries. Well, I will be.
I'll be here waiting for you.
Keep the couch warm. Maybe we get a new couch. Maybe we get a new one.
I tell you what, you come back here, we'll get a new couch.
Oh, You got yourself a deal, my friend. All right, buddy. Always good catching up. That's another episode of The Sportsman. We'll catch you next week, folks.
Love you.
Love you, buddy.